It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 392. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I did not have a chance to download and edit the voicemails for tonight, so I'll get to them next week. Phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and facebook.com/MikeTechShow. That's where I will post when I'm live, when the content is ready and posted, and I've finished editing. I always tweet, I always Facebook that. Don't forget the wiki, and I don't talk about this enough, and the hard work that Barbara, Citizen X, puts into this and updating that, but it is the ultimate place to download all the archives. And I get questions all the time. Hey, I can't find this show, or I can't do this link. Wait until you hear one of the emails. Someone said, hey, did you take a year off? Because when I was looking at the different feeds, it seems like there's like a year's worth of shows missing. No, I didn't take off. I've been doing this. This coming beginning of March will be 7 years. So go to the wiki, mtswiki.com, and there you will find links to all of the past shows. And speaking of this, I had a major error on my website. If you clicked on the iTunes link in the right-hand corner, do you know it took you to the wrong feed for iTunes? I can't believe how long it's been incorrect. And I received an email this week that corrected me. That said, Mike, I can't find your iTunes link. And I went searching on iTunes, I found the right one, and I sent him the link, and I matched it, and it's not right. Well, I went in and I corrected that. So if you look at feeds on the top right hand of my website, you'll see iTunes, and that works now. And I'm going to make sure that that's prominent in this show's notes so you can get the right iTunes feed. I have a lot of things I want to talk about. I have lots of email that I want to get to and lots of really good tips and some links. And I want to talk about one of my apps that crashed a couple weeks ago. I'm going to tell you how it got fixed from the author, and I will discuss what's going on. When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Did you know that 12,000 laptops are lost or stolen at airports every single week? Even a single incident of data loss isn't cheap. It can cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. Businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mozy Pro to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents, to family pictures and music. It's automatic and it works. One advertising executive's company lost an entire bank of servers, which nearly brought their business to its knees. Then he found Mozy Pro. He says, I was shocked at how fast it works and their people know how to work with Macs. Mozy Pro business backup plans are affordable, and there are no contracts to sign or hardware to buy. Give our friends at Mozy a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776, or visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. The first email I want to get to is from Kate, who sent me this link, which is, what browser are you using? And this was my reference to the deer in the headlights comment a couple weeks ago. I often try to get people to tell me the answer to that question when I am not there. Here's a good way to do this, and it's called supportdetails.com. It quickly tells you what operating system, the web browser and the version, your IP address, JavaScript, is it enabled, cookies, the flash version, color depth, browser size, screen resolution. This is great. If you're working with someone remote and you don't know what their operating system is, because you ask, how many times have you asked what browser you're using, what operating system? They don't have a clue. Most users don't know. This is a great website that you can send someone to just get enough basic information that's going to help you out. So this is a great website that you need to bookmark. I want to talk about my core app on my iPhone. The reason I have an iPhone, TimeLogger. And I talked about that a long time ago when I discovered it from a listener who wrote in recommending it. And I live on that app, documenting and filling out all of the hours and logging all of the hours that I work for clients. And this is the lifeblood of my consulting business and how I track hours. You can then generate a CSV report, and then I can literally open it up in Excel and manipulate it for timesheets. I can download it right into QuickBooks. Well, I got lazy the last few months and I wasn't generating those CSV reports. TimeLogger launched an update. Why not? Hey, right, they're improving things. I launched that update and I talked about this where it crashed. And when it crashed and it would not run, I can't delete the app. I don't want to delete the data that is behind it. I sent two emails to the author of the app, their website, the formed email, did not hear a response. But when I literally killed them in a past Mike Tech show, very interesting, 2 days after the show, I receive an email late at night saying, Mike, there are other people that, yes, have informed us that have the same problem you do. Could you generate this crash report and then send it to us? Zip it up, send it, and we will work on this right away and solve this problem. Well, the first thing I did, I followed their instructions, which clearly led to me, after you sync your phone to iTunes, there's a directory under an Apple directory that you can then go to logs and then crash report, and you can look at the log of every app that's ever crashed on your iPhone. And I took and sorted it by the name of the app, and there's TimeLogger, and then took that group. Now, he sent me very specific instructions on how to capture this crash report and then zip it and send it to him. This was 1 a.m. I sent that report to the author. By 7 a.m., I had an email waiting for me when I woke up that said, I want you to sync your phone again, go into apps, then go to the files, pick on that app, there's files, copy those files to a safe place. Then he had one specific file that he said, delete. Then resync, that app's going to work. We're going to put a fix in and then submit it to Apple, and they will have a new app, a new version that will have this fix. I deleted that file, resynced, and all my data was back. And the first thing I did was generate a CSV of the whole content of all the data. It was great. Everything's working. And with that new version that I had never been able to launch, and now I could launch, in it, they put in a separate backup for backing up to iCloud. I sent him a thank you for the fix. And then he sent another email. I guess the best way to put it is call the dogs off. It seems like there was many people writing bad reviews on iTunes that was just killing them in the App Store. And rightfully so. If you have an app that's crashing and then you're not listening to the emails that are coming in, one thing, I love the app. They did take a long time to get back to me on the problem. I thought 10 days is too long for not hearing from a serious problem. And though they did get back to me, and when they did get back to me, they fixed it. That's the main point here. Lots of lessons here. And I talked about this before. If you're putting all your eggs in one basket or you got a key app like that, you have to have several ways of backing it up. It's like if you have QuickBooks. QuickBooks has a built-in backup. Back it up to that USB key. Back it up to somewhere else. Then back up the backup. Critical apps need to be backed up. And as critical as this app was, I did not follow those instructions. I didn't make sure that I was doing something separate to make that data and make sure that it was being backed up. Every day, I should have been generating a CSV report, and therefore, I wouldn't have lost anything. Well, I was very lucky. I lost no data. I have a procedure in place, and then I'm also using their built-in procedure to separately back up the data to iCloud. So the key is our mantra, backup, 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 and boy, is that important. Let's continue with another email from Kate. And she says, "Hi, Mike. I don't know where I heard about the offline password and registry editor, so apologies if it was actually on the Mike Tech Show. I don't believe it was. But in case not, maybe you can pass this on. The utility is here, and I'll have a link in the show notes. And having it on the CD saved the day with a customer recently. This thing clears passwords and enables the administrator account if necessary. I had a problem with a new Windows 7 computer not accepting the password that I had set up on it not 20 minutes earlier. I'd never used the program, but had the CD in my bag. The author's directions are right there and are so good that I got things squared away without having to start all over again." And she has a longer version of the story in one of her articles, and I will also have that in the show notes. Kate, thank you. You've heard me say this over and over. That is exactly what this show is about. Those incredible utilities that has saved you, share them. Utilities that we have not talked about on a regular basis that has saved your butt in a situation, let me know so I can spread the word and share this with everyone. That is very important. A great example is the website and the utility that Kate sent. Because Kate, she's out there consulting and in the trenches and looking to solve problems. I'm in the trenches all the time, and that's why I'm always looking for those kinds of repairs and things that can help make us more productive. And it's what we want to get out there and share. And it's what this whole, it's the whole core concept of this show. Thank you very much for that, and everyone, and continue to do that. This is from Nigel. "Just a quick thank you, since listening to your show has again saved me time and aggravation recently. My Windows 7 machine suddenly developed a problem where Windows Explorer would crash and restart every 5 to 10 minutes. Thanks to your frequent recommendations, I ran Crystal Disk Info, and it gave me a diagnostic of caution on my C drive, citing multiple unrepairable bad sectors. I shut down the machine until I'd obtained a replacement hard drive. I then used a trial version of Macrium Reflect to clone the C drive onto the new drive, and a couple of hours later, I was back in business. I can recommend the trial version of Macrium Reflect as an easy, painless, and free way to do a once-off hard drive clone. It can be downloaded from macrium.com. I've heard of this, and I know Carrie has used this, and I think that's where we might have discussed this on a Tech Vets. I am going to look into this a little more because that's something that it's nice to have another free cloning software. We talked about this a couple weeks ago where a listener had a problem and he tried, he used Acronis and he used a couple things. He used a Windows 7, the one built in, and he was having trouble. And that's where I thought it might be the target hard drive having a problem. But here's another utility to try to use to make a clone. I want to take a moment and recognize our other sponsor, and that's GoToMeeting. Being able to attach a face to a name is important. It enhances our relationships, the way we do business, but unfortunately, meeting all of your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can see your attendees eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and simple to use. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. But don't wait. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. I want to thank Francis, who sent me this on Sunday, and he says, I'm trying to subscribe to your podcast via iTunes so I can listen to you on my phone. But when I view your offerings in iTunes, the latest podcast is April 24th, 2010. Are you not offering any new casts through their interface? And that's when I said, here is the link. And that's what made me go through iTunes, discover the right link, and I sent it to him. And then that's when he said, by the way, there's a gap between April 2010 and April 2011. Did I retire for a bit? I'm like, no, and you can get all of the old podcasts via the wiki. So that's why I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. It was because of Francis, and Francis, thank you. And anybody out there, if you see something funky or it's not right, don't think that it's you. You know, it's probably on my end. There is a problem with the website, with a link that I put, a typo, an issue, let me know, because sometimes that's the only way I'm going to find out. Thank you very much. And you're not being picky. You're helping me out. And I really appreciate that. This next link is from Winston Wolf, and it's 9 steps to secure WordPress. And I know a lot of you, like myself, have WordPress and use it. I have it on 4 sites. So let's take a look at these steps. 1, update. Update WordPress, very important. Update your plugins, that's important. Hide the WordPress version. There's code here, so you won't reveal what version of WordPress, because now you let all the bad people know that what version, and then they'll know how to hack it. Use complex login passwords. Very, very, very important. check WordPress folders file permissions. There's a list here of exactly what the permission should be for the different folders. Delete default admin user. That's a great tip. Hide the plugins directory, and there's code for how to do that. And that's number 7. Number 8, change the WordPress table prefix. That's one that I have never heard of, and I got to look into that. I'm going to be careful. Turn off database errors. And this is another one I didn't know about. In older versions of WordPress, if there are any errors in the MySQL database, it would show the exact error on the browser itself. This gives the hacker valuable information about your database. To prevent this, you need to update your WordPress to the latest version so that it will only show a general error message like database connection error, and not showing exactly what's wrong. Log into your WordPress dashboard and update the WordPress core files. That's not all. There are many other tips which you should be following to create a secure WordPress blog. One tip which he recommends is to stop using encrypted footer WordPress theme. If you are serious about your blogging, download the theme from an official, recognized theme author, or better to use a premium WordPress theme. These are great, great, great tips on securing and locking down your WordPress. And I have been very, very fortunate because I stay on top of upgrading to the latest version. But there's a lot of tips here that I learned that I didn't even know about. Hopefully some of you can benefit from this. And thank you, Winston, for forwarding that on. This is a question. I'm not sure of the answer here and need your help. And this is from David. Mike, we are getting Windows 7 computers in for new computers now. And I have a question about the way you log in. If they're hitting Control-Alt-Delete, you see the previous user and a button saying switch user. After clicking switch user, you see two logins, the previous user and other user. Do you know of a way to show more than just those two choices, maybe like three icons, so you do not have to always enter user's information? Thanks in advance for your help and the great podcast. I watch you on Ustream all the time. He said, forgot to tell you the full operating system. It's Windows 7 Professional 32-bit. I don't know. And I actually started searching and I got conflicting information. So I'm putting that out there, not only to the chat, but to everybody listening. If you know of a way that we can make an adjustment to the login for Windows 7 Professional, let me know. I've also noticed this. It's never been a problem. You know, I don't have a problem with clients where they have multiple users trying to log into multiple systems. Clearly here he does. So they want to see more profiles for people that have logged into that system. Then you get to the point, hopefully you can control how many you see. You don't want to turn it on where, I guess, if you take a look at the old XP, one of the interface options for the login screen was a picture and the username listed all along the side. I always change that because I like the traditional Control-Alt-Delete and you like to see the user. That's nice and it helps people. But it's not secure. One of the things, if you see all those names, it gives someone who shouldn't have access to that system more choices for usernames to try to hack in. So that's a downside by showing too much. As a matter of fact, I know a group policy that with one organization, we used to make it where when you hit Control-Alt-Delete, you don't even see the last login. You have that cleared because you don't want to give anybody the opportunity to show them a legitimate username to log in. So there's a couple ways of looking at this. You got to be able to set up a group policy, I believe, to be able to show multiple profiles. Now, Windows 7 may have a limit that you can only see two. I'm not sure. This is something I haven't explored. So let me know if you have experience with this, if you've ran into this, if you've solved it. Let me know so I can pass that on to everybody, including David. Here's another one from David, and he says, how do you point a domain profile to a local profile in Windows 7? I've looked everywhere and posted to Microsoft TechNet forums and thought you may know, I have a domain profile. I want to be able to see any pictures and everything in the local profile. We have done this on Windows XP machine, but never on a Windows 7 machine. Any help would be appreciated. Again, I don't have an answer. That's just, I don't have answers to everything. So if you can help me out here with these questions, I would greatly appreciate it. We need some people with some Windows 7 domain experience here, possibly with some profile experience. One of the things that I most certainly hate, and I wish there was an easier way to do this, which is I'm gonna actually run into this on Monday with a client, with a new client. We are going to be rolling out Active Directory for this small business. He currently has a server that is a standalone work group server. And he's got workstations that then access a SQL database on that server. Some have access to it, some don't. There's maybe a share for shared files. So the big question is, what's going to happen to the local profiles once we light up and I run DC Promo and I roll out and install Active Directory on his server, and now we create user accounts that we now change, and that user account now, as they log in to a true AD domain, the profile is going to change locally. So now, let's say I'm Mike at my system, and I don't have a domain. And then let's say my domain becomes company. If I log in, instead of using my local profile, and I log in Active Directory, if you look at the profile created locally, it's going to be Mike.company, where I really want my old Mike. Now, I can log in there and start pulling in desktop and some of the other things. What I would like to see, and maybe I'm missing it, maybe there is something, is there a way to easily migrate profiles where I have a, because you can't just copy it and rename it. Is there a way to just extract and, I'd like to take a profile that's from Mike and then have it automatically put everything into the new one. I don't know. Am I asking for too much? And this is a common problem I know that I've ran into for years when you start to change a domain. And usually the profiles are not too hard to recreate, just some shortcuts on the desktop and very little to have to do. You know, maybe, again, just moving the documents, moving some of the other files from the different directories. Again, setting up the desktop correctly, you know, move the favorites. I mean, you can do this. I guess, what's the best way for migrating profiles, taking the information from one profile to another? And this profile question just made me think of that at this example, because I'm actually going to run into this Monday. So whenever you're hearing this, let me know, and I will try. I know Fabs was mentioned. I'm going to take a look at that and see if that is the answer for me. I was looking for this email earlier in the show, and I couldn't find it, and now I found it, and it's from Kevin McBride, and he says, "Hi, Mike. Just wanted to give you a heads up in case you haven't noticed that the TimeLogger app has finally been updated. I know you use this app, as do I, and wow. It seems it took the developer quite a bit of time to push out this bug fix. I've been a long-time listener and thoroughly enjoy the show. I learn something new every time I tune in. Thanks and best regards. And this is Kevin from Louisiana. Kevin, thank you for that email. And he sent that after the update was all, was posted up. But I was so fortunate I got my update a couple days earlier, as I explained earlier in the show, from the author. Well, Vince and Jerry from the chat has sent me a link. Thank you so much. Now I don't have to wait for the answer, but this is the utility to literally migrate the profiles, what I was just asking for. It's the Windows 7 walkthrough user state migration tool. I will have this link in the show notes, and it pretty much is supposed to do exactly what I'm asking to do. So I will give this a try, and this will come in handy on Monday when I'm at my client. I thank you very much for that, and I am looking forward to using it. As a matter of fact, what I might do is, just to get started over the weekend, I'm going to create a couple environments. I got to do some testing over the weekend, but this is something that I will try on my own here on my domain. Give it before I go into a client and start using a utility. Thank you very much. That's why I love the big difference from years ago when I was doing the podcast and I was doing it alone, just talking to myself into a microphone and recording it, versus doing this when there's 30 or more people listening to this question, where they think about it and there's like a minute or two delay in the from when I say it versus when everybody hears it. But then I get great collaboration and answers, and I can do it right within the podcast. So that's what's so cool about doing this live, and it's why I love doing it live, because of that interaction and getting answers like this and being able to feed it right back. That is very cool. Even though this does sometimes pose editing problems, I enjoy it. Like this week, there's a couple sections here. It depends how much time I have tomorrow. You may hear the original audio as disjointed with the email that wasn't in the right place, and then the answer to this question, which was a couple questions back. So hopefully, as a whole, everything makes sense as I've talked about it. Today, I was very late in getting home to prepare for the podcast. I had my emails printed out. I knew what I was going to talk about, but I literally got in the door at 7:30 when I'm normally sometimes on at 7 o'clock or, quarter after 7 for the pre-show. And what I was doing, I was at a client's party. They have this big annual party that they invite all their clients, their vendors, the neighboring businesses, and it's a great bash. And this is a new client that I've been with them a little bit less than a year, so I've never been to one of their parties. They said, "Mike, you got to go and make sure to bring a stack of business cards." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm there." Any way that I can look to expand the business, troll for more leads, I'm going to do it. And especially in a great opportunity like this. And it was a fabulous party and great time. And I met some business owners that are in need of IT support that I know I'm going to be following up with next week, that could be opportunities for more retainer clients, which is what I'm looking for. And it's a great way to grow the business and keep going. So always take advantage of networking opportunities, which brings me to the schedule for next week. The Mike Tech Show will be live on Wednesday night, not Thursday night. So why is that? Thursday night, I am giving a presentation to a small group of neighbors in a neighborhood that I would like more business. They've asked me, it's a woman's group that asked me to present, and they're going to generate different tech topics that they would like me to address. I'm going to put a personalized presentation together and deliver that next Thursday night to a small group where one of the individuals is already a client, and they will introduce me, and it will be a great opportunity to then possibly have these other attendees of this meeting as clients. So they get to see what I know, they get to interact with me, ask me questions. It's another way to, for free, to promote your business. And that's why I wanted to share that. And I'll let you know how I make out with that, not next week, but the week after. I will report back on how that went. Did I receive business from there? And if I did, this is something that I'm going to look into, which is presenting IT solutions, tech tips and tricks, different things. Well, you know, a lot of things like I discuss here on the show, but do this to a small audience that has the potential to get more business. I think it's a great idea. It's not costing me any money. The only thing it costs me is the time to do it. And so they meet on Thursday once a month, and it's a Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And when I originally agreed to it a couple months ago, I thought it was 8 in the morning, and I thought it was a breakfast meeting. And then a couple weeks ago, I found out it was 8 o'clock at night. And I was like, uh-oh, that's my show. And it's funny, the person that invited me knows I do the show. And she says, you know, I just thought of something. How are you going to present to our group when you have your Mike Tech show live on Thursday nights? And I said, well, I thought this is a breakfast meeting. And that's when we realized, oh, no. I said, you know what? Don't worry. I made the commitment. I'll be there. This is important to me. And I'll move the Mike Tech show for when I record it to Wednesday night. So that's why Wednesday night next week, same time, same channel. And that moves Tech Vets up. So we'll probably have a Tech Vets on Tuesday night. I just thought I would share all that. Remember to use my Amazon link when you're purchasing anything from Amazon. Amazon.MikeNation.net. Or just use the link on the website at MikeTechShow.com. And anything that you're buying from Amazon, or share that link with whoever you know, family, friends, anybody, that helps support the show. And I really, really appreciate it. That's very important. Another piece of business. Last weekend, Winston Wolf was supposed to be out at the PAX presentation to present on virtualization. And I was all ready to have this all recorded. Well, because of the impending snow last Saturday, the PAX board canceled the meeting on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And I got a hold of Winston. He was halfway to my house. So he was in Pittsburgh, 5 hours out. And he made the call because his wife actually wasn't feeling well. And so it was the right call. And he turned around and he spent the night in that area and then went home the next day, rather than plug ahead and keep going to me. And I really appreciate all the effort that he put into a tremendous presentation that I've seen the PowerPoint, and we will get this done. He's going to possibly come back out in May and be the main presentation at PAX. I'm going to try to make that happen. Stay tuned. There's a great, great virtualization presentation that's just waiting to be shown to everybody, and it'll be worth the wait. With that, I have some music. I really like the group Evanescence, and this is off their new CD, and it's called Lost in Paradise. Give a listen.
Human, and I've been of hopelessness in me.
Is Evanescence, and I'll have a link to their CD. It's Evanescence Deluxe Version, and that's Lost in Paradise. I'll have that link for Amazon.com so you can make that purchase. I want to thank everybody for your continued support, downloading, and staying subscribed to the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I will be live next week. It'll be Wednesday night, not Thursday. So talk to you next week. Same channel, 8 o'clock. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.